ॐ नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय। ॐ नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय। ॐ नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय। Continuing discussion of Sri Vishnu Sahasranam. And one important point about Sharan, that Krishna is the shelter, is that he gives shelter directly to the pure devotees who are his eternal associates. Directly and indirectly, actually directly and indirectly for everyone. Indirectly means through his representatives. So this point is especially important for those of us in this material world who are aspiring for attaining the shelter of Krishna, that Krishna gives the franchise or the power of attorney to his devotees to represent him and give shelter on his behalf. The devotees are able to give shelter because they themselves are sheltered, and they give shelter by advising the aspiring devotee to take shelter of Krishna. So it's a joint process. The jiva in himself has no power to uplift or give shelter to anyone, but because he takes shelter of Krishna, he can do so. So this idea that we will directly take shelter of Krishna and we'll directly approach God is not accepted within Vaishnav Siddhanta. We have to go through his representatives. Name 88, Sharma, which means one who is transcendental bliss. He is the highest goal to be attained. It also means shelter, which is, that's another meaning. So we often find this in Vishnu Sahasranam, that two words are with two names with similar meanings are juxtaposed or put close to each other. And we say that in any, that tendency is there in any language to emphasize a point by putting two words together. In Bengali or Hindi, you'd use the same word to emphasize it. Bara bara, big big means very big. In English, although it's not really proper English, but you might say, well, that's adequate enough. Although the word, one of the words there is redundant, but it emphasizes the point. Or that the name is somewhat different. It's a synonym. But as often with synonyms, the different words which have the same meaning have slightly different meanings, which means that there are different ways, different aspects of certain qualities of Vishnu to be understood. One who takes shelter in him certainly becomes blissful. And as long as one is not sheltered by Krishna, as long as one refuses the shelter of Krishna, one can never be happy. How does he give happiness? By removing the sorrows. By taking away our sorrows, we become happy. It's not possible to be happy if we are in this situation of material existence where distress is inevitable and inherent. So that Krishna is transcendental bliss. He is bliss. What is bliss? If we ask this question, what is happiness? We can say a state of... It's difficult to describe, although everyone knows what it means, or at least they have a superficial understanding of what it means. It's difficult to describe what it means without invoking a synonym of the word happy. But if we want to say what is happiness, we can answer Krishna is happiness. Happiness is Krishna. Because one becomes happy by coming into association with Krishna, even by hearing about Krishna, one becomes happy, unless one's a demon. And Krishna, his whole existence is surcharged with all happiness. So in that sense, he is happiness. Actual happiness is inseparable from Krishna. There is no happiness outside of Krishna consciousness. So he is bliss. Name 89, Vishvareta. Which means, Vishva means universe, and Reta means, literally means semen. So this name means that he is the seed for the universe. The life principle, or the life, the source of life from which the whole universe develops. This name can also be a name of Brahma, but more completely and more correctly is a name of Vishnu. Later on in Vishnu Sahasranam will come the name Vishvayoni, which means the womb of the universe. So he's both the seed, or the semina, and the womb. So everything is him. He injects life into the universe, and he fosters and nurtures that life so that it develops. So he's both the seed and he's both the father and the mother, as will be suggested in the next name after this. So everything develops from him, by him, in him, is sustained by him, for his purposes. Nothing can be independent of him. This is stated in the Upanishads, Yato va imani bhutani jayante, yena jayanti jivanti, yat prayatyabhisang vishanti, tad vijyasyasva tad brahmeti. That everything arises, he is the one by whom everything arises, that means the universe, in which everything exists, in which everything lives, and by whom ultimately everything is destroyed. That is the subject, that is the proper subject for inquiry. One should inquire into this. What is that? That is Brahman. So that is summarized at the beginning of Vedanta, the first of the Vedanta sutras. No, the second. Janmadyasya yataha. Tad brahmeti, atato brahma jignyasa is the first. Now, another meaning is, where is that? Yeah, he's full of spiritual prowess. Just like we say, if a man, he can give birth to many children, we say he's potent, powerful. So, Krishna is potent. Everything is possible for him. All kinds of possibilities exist within Krishna. Nothing is impossible for Krishna. So, that we should remember when we hear about Krishna's pastimes, when Krishna in many ways appears to be like an ordinary person, but he's not. Even though he may act as an ordinary person, or even as an incapable person, even as a he appears to be like a child who is dependent upon his mother for protection, or for feeding, for nourishment. But he's not showing his full prowess. He's deliberately withholding that to enjoy the pastime of being a child. So even though he's a child, or acting like a child, he is, the whole potency of the universe is with him. If he just turns it off, then the whole universe doesn't function anymore. The universe means gachati iti jagat, that which always keeps on moving, that which is always going on is the universe. So that's because of Krishna. Everything can go on because of him. Another meaning then is, he's full of spiritual prowess and potency. Oh, excuse me, I have some pain in my leg. Sitting like this helps to minimize it. So, the next name 90, is Prajabhava. One from whom all living beings, or one by whom all living beings are generated. So that means he's the father and mother of everyone, as stated in Bhagavad Gita. This, Pitahamasya Jagato Mata Dhata Pitamaha. He is the father and mother and the grandfather of the universe. Actually, he's the father and mother, but he's, in as much as he is the he's the seed-giving father. He's the receptacle in which everything generates. He may be called the grandfather, in as much as he gives birth to Brahma, who later gives birth to all other living beings. So, actually, he's the father, but because he gives that again power of attorney to the devotee, to Brahma. Therefore, he may be considered the grandfather also. A point that Srila Prabhupada often pointed out is that the modern scientists, they think that everything has, all life has come into being by chance combination of chemicals going from the simple to the complex. But the Vedic understanding is makes much more sense, and it's actually a fact, that the life forms, they come from this supreme life form, Krishna. And it's a top-down process, not something that starts and gradually, not a down-up process. Another point about Krishna being the father of everyone, just like we should be grateful to our parents and serve them for all they've given us, which we cannot repay to them. We find Krishna says this to Vasudeva and Devaki after, when he first meets them after killing Kamsa. He said that actually, as the parents, what you we cannot repay our debt to you just by giving the body. What to speak of how much parents have to sacrifice to raise their children and make all arrangements for them. So it's not possible for the children to repay the debt that they have to the parents, but they can at least show their gratefulness by respectfully serving the parents. So our debt to Krishna is much more, because we're entirely dependent upon him in all respects. Therefore, our duty is to recognize that fact and not deny it, and just say that, well, I don't believe that you gave birth. If you say to your parents that, well, I don't believe you gave birth to me, prove it. Yeah, I never saw you giving birth to me. Where's the empiric evidence? Why should I serve you? What have I got to do with you? I mean, you can imagine that's extremely painful to the parents. If they've lovingly raised their child and then the child is just rudely rejecting them, it's very painful to the parents. So in the same way, Krishna, being the Supreme Person and very affectionate by nature, it's very painful for Krishna that the souls in the material world, they reject Krishna. On the other hand, if we do turn to him and recognize that he is our true father and mother in all respects and attempt to serve him without any duplicity, then Krishna will be very pleased with that and he will reciprocate. Now, the next name 91, Aha. It means the day. Krishna is the day. Day, yes. So you may think, well, that's a strange name. But then, Krishna is everything. So he's the day. He's also the night. Although we don't find that name here in Vishnu Sahasranam. The next name after this is Samvatsara, which means the year. So Krishna is the day, Krishna is the year, Krishna is up, Krishna is down, Krishna is forward, Krishna is back. Krishna is, you could name the ant. That name could be applied to Krishna. Ant, elephant, building, well that's there, Nivasa. Nivasa Sharanam Suhrit. Oh, that I didn't mention yesterday in Bhagavad Gita, that name comes for Krishna. Sharanam comes in Bhagavad Gita also. Nivasa, Sharanam, Suhrit. What's the beginning of that verse? Gatir Bhatu Prabhu Sakshi Nivasa Sharanam Suhrit. So Krishna says, I am the goal. I am the sustainer. Gatir Bhatu, I am the master. I am the witness. I am the residence. I am the shelter. I am the best friend. So Krishna is everything. So he's also the daytime. Literally, we can say the day is Krishna. Night has gone. Now Krishna has come. Other names for Krishna. Krishna is likened to the sun. So a name of Krishna, Ravi. Ravi means the sun, or Surya. There are so many names for Surya, for the sun. So that is representative of Krishna also. Krishna is like the day, and metaphorically also, just like when the sun rises, then we can see everything clearly. What is that? Jnanena tu tadajnanam yesham nashitam atmanaha. Tesham adityavajnanam prakashayati tatparam. Krishna says in the Bhagavad Gita that the arising of knowledge is like the arising of the sun that dispels all ignorance. And by the sunlight we can see everything. So in the same way, when the sun of knowledge arises, metaphorically, then we can see the Supreme. So Krishna is like the... Also we have in the example is there of clearing of fog. Niharamiva bhaskara kechit kevalaya bhaktya vasudeva parayanaha aghangdun bhanti kajneyam niharamiva bhaskara. These are all different names of the sun. Aditya, bhaskara. So that example is given that just as a pure devotional service clears away all sins, completely clears them away, just as the appearance of the sun clears away fog. Otherwise fog, there's nothing you can do about it. There's nothing. You bring your scientists a fog remover. There's no such thing. But the sun, by the appearance of the sun, especially the hot sun, sometimes the sun comes up and the fog doesn't go away. Because if the sun is up, you can see it shining through the fog. But the strong sun dispels the fog. So Krishna is like the day that awakens people from ignorance. And what is ignorance? Forgetfulness of Krishna. So when Krishna appears, then there's no question of forgetfulness of him. Another meaning of aha, common meaning is the day. But as with most Sanskrit words, can be understood in various other ways also. One meaning is one who never forsakes anyone. So this is very important because we have deliberately forgotten Krishna. We have left him. We have abandoned him. But Krishna doesn't abandon us. He remains with us, with every jiva, during his travels throughout the material world, from body to body to body. Krishna remains with him. The example is given in the Upanishads of two birds on a tree. One is tasting the fruit and the other is simply observing. Waiting, this is understood, that the one bird who is simply watching is the Supreme Lord, and he's simply watching and waiting, when will this rascal turn to me? When will he give up trying to enjoy the sweet and bitter fruits of the tree of material life and simply turn to me? So we forget Krishna, we blaspheme Krishna, we offend Krishna, we offend others, but Krishna is very tolerant, and even after so many lifetimes of forgetting Krishna and offending Krishna, if we turn to Krishna, Krishna will say, yes, I accept you. He doesn't say, okay, now you want to see me? Well, you wait as many lifetimes as you rejected me. He doesn't say, immediately Krishna is willing to accept us. So he never forgets us. He never forsakes us, even though we forsake him. Another, forsake means to, abandon. Forsake. There are many words like that. Forswear, forego, forbear. Oh, forbear is different, a little different. So another interpretation given is that although he destroys, he does not destroy. He's known as the destroyer. By him, there's that we just cited, the Upanishad version. Yat prayat yapisang vishanti. by whom or by which everything is destroyed. But he doesn't destroy also. Nothing is actually destroyed. Destroyed in the sense that the form is destroyed, the form of the universe is destroyed. But it's not destroyed in the sense that it ceases to exist. The elements remain in potential form, and later that is recreated by him. Now, he doesn't destroy his devotees, even if especially his devotees, if they make a mistake, others may blame them, but Krishna says, apichet sudara charo bhajate mam ananya bhak sadhureva samantavya samyagrevasito hisaha. That such a person who's decided, who's made the resolve to serve me fully, even if he does something which is horrible, Krishna says, he should still be respected as a saintly person. Kaunteya pratijani hi name bhakta pranashati. Krishna, he promises to protect his devotees, so certainly he doesn't destroy his devotees. This is also very important in comparison with the Abrahamic religions, in which they say that God creates new jiva. Every time a human is born, that means there's a new soul. And most of them go to hell forever without any chance of any redemption whatsoever. Whoever enters the gate of hell, they should give up all hope, according to Dante. Whoever enters herein, give up all hope. You just have to suffer. And then, according to Thomas Aquinas, the great pleasures for the Christians in heaven is looking down at those suffering in hell eternally. What a horrible, horrible religion. Ugh. It's psychologically deformed the whole of the Western civilization for the last 2,000 years. Horrible ideas. So Krishna is not like that at all. He doesn't destroy, because they are nasty and demoniac, they attribute such qualities to God. The only way in which he can he doesn't destroy, but he does allow those jivas who are extremely sinful to do self-destruction. That means mayavadis. Those who want to merge into a state of consciousness in which there is no consciousness of anything except bliss, so they say, they can do so. That self-destruction is there, where they're so envious of Krishna, they want to be liberated from this material world, but they still insist that even though we're liberated from this world, we will not serve Krishna. So such persons, they can commit spiritual suicide and merge into a state of practical nothingness according to their perverse desire. But Krishna doesn't destroy them, but he allows them to destroy themselves by embracing such a nasty philosophy. But he himself preaches against that, and he sends his devotees to preach against it. So he doesn't like it. He doesn't like that the jivas become destroyed, because they're meant for service to him. So prime duty of devotees is to serve the mission of Krishna in this world by preaching against this mayavad. It's the most destructive idea, literally. What could be more destructive than designed to destroy your whole consciousness and going as far away from the position of service to Krishna as is possible? So, any question about any of this? Yeah, Bhavananda. I don't get that. Everything emanates from Krishna, and the devotees think this is good, but the non-devotees don't like this. That's how far we got so far. They don't like that everything comes from Krishna, or they don't like to acknowledge that everything comes from Krishna, or they do acknowledge that everything comes from Krishna, and they don't like that everything comes from Krishna. What's the point? Like what? They like that everything comes from Krishna? They don't like to accept that everything comes from Krishna? Or they don't like that everything... They accept that it comes from Krishna, but they don't like that it comes from Krishna. We can see how, as in Krishna says in Bhagavad Gita, that the parampara becomes lost. That the parampara is, we receive knowledge by hearing, but if we don't hear very carefully, then we don't understand clearly, and then we'll convey something to someone else which is not exactly what was said. Or we may not express it very clearly, and then others are liable to misunderstand. And in this way, misunderstandings come. So I don't know what's actually being stated here. The question didn't even come yet. Is it a comment? Why do people not want to accept that everything comes from Krishna? Because the whole attitude of people in the material world is one of envy. They've decided to forget Krishna. Elementary understanding. Or they may say, we accept everything comes from God, and God made everything for us to enjoy. That's the Christian understanding. So the world is there for us to exploit and use for our sense gratification. And other living beings are for us to kill, because God gave them... You hear Christians say, well, if God didn't want us to kill the animals, then why did he create them? As if that's the only thing you can do with them. So that's another twist on... another aspect of envy of God. But that one way is outright rejection, that we don't accept that there is any God. Another is to accept, yes, there's God, but they don't want to accept him as the person to be to whom we surrender and serve. Rather, God has created this world for us to enjoy. And then when they suffer, then they say there's no God. Because the function of God is to make us enjoy. And if we're unhappy, that means there's no God. Because if there was a God, he would have made me happy. So the whole understanding is perverse. Any other questions? Yes, you always have a question. What is it today? What's this got to do with the class?
Doing good sadhana, and how far I should surrender to Krishna, so if there are many festivals, many exceptions, just to go beyond my body.
How much should you take care of the body, and how much should you push it? Well, that's an individual choice that everyone has to make. Basically, we don't care for the body in and of itself. We want to push the body for Krishna's service, but some recognition of the body's limit should also be there, and some keeping it healthy, as keep the body healthy as far as it doesn't interfere with our basic service to Krishna. Just like we see Srila Prabhupada travel all over the world, which is not at all good for health. But he also observed many, what shall we say, traditional rules of Indian living that are helpful for health. Just like, well, he took daily massage. Actually, he took massage for several hours every day. He regulated his diet to some extent according to his... needs for his health. So like this. That will be an individual choice. You can't legislate it. Some devotees push their body and then they go on pushing and then They die early. They go back to Godhead quickly. That's a good example. And others are more careful with their health. They do things. So it's up to you. I wouldn't get too mental about it. That's all. You don't have to worry about it too much. You have to serve Krishna and as far as possible keep the body healthy. Looks like you're very mental about it.
And
can't work it out, the answer. I try to take care of my health to some extent. Do something. I've got all kinds of medicines out there. They're helpful. They help. They take a few pills every day. It helps. Why not? I mean, they're not psychotropic. They're just herbs. Why not? Instead of having severe pain, I don't have severe pain because I take a few pills every day. No, they're not painkillers. They're just, like I say, some herbal drug. So, what's the harm? Anything else? Anyone else? Yes. All right. Well, another meaning of the word sharma is shelter, yeah. I believe I got that from the Sanskrit dictionary. It's not given in the commentary here. Sharma is, of course, a common Brahmin name in India, all over India. Well, in the commentary which I'm reading from, the person who's made it said, I could not find the root word for the name from the dictionary. He says that Monier Williams speculates that the name is probably derived from Shri, which I looked it up in Monier Williams also, and it's right there. He says, prob root, they put the root like in the square root, Shri. It's only his speculation, though. So what's the root of this? I don't know. You might get different pundits who say different things.
These names, like, order? I mean, there's some...
Is there an order? Well, the commentary of Parashara Bhatta in the Sri Vaishnava Sampradaya, he finds order in them. That one name, that there's a group of names which go together. And we see, I mean, you can see that without even, in some cases it's very clear, but in other cases he strings them together. Whereas, the first major commentator in this Kali Yuga is Shankaracharya. And he doesn't do that. But that stringing them together, so to speak, well, one result of that is that sometimes you get interpretations which are not the obvious interpretation. Like then the word aha means day, but there are others also. So to fit it into his schema, Parashara, but I'm not saying that in a facetious way, because I'm sure he's divinely inspired in what he's doing. Parashara Bhakta, he doesn't take the first meaning as the main one. And the word Samvatsara, the next name, which I'll get through to tomorrow, Krishna willing, if I live to the next day, the meaning is year, but he doesn't take that either. So that's one consequence. But another consequence is that several names, they're repeated more than once within Vishnu Sahasranama. So by commenting on them in relation to the words before and after them, Parashara, he finds that there's not really, he overcomes the apparent redundancy. by saying that in this context it means this, in another context it means some, this specific meaning is relevant here. So, Hare Krishna, maybe in a generation or two, we'll have devotees giving classes and Sanskrit will be the language of our society, and then we'll be having classes in Sanskrit and we can go much deeper into these topics and it'll be much more culturally relishable for all the devotees to discuss all these things in Sanskrit, and then it becomes very easy to understand how the words are derived and to unwrap words from different roots, and then everyone can follow it and like that. But I don't think we're going to be there very soon, but it would be nice. And then all over the world, we wouldn't need any translation. Everyone can just have it in Sanskrit. But I guess that would be for the Brahmanas and Kshatriyas, maybe. Maybe the Vaishyas, if they're good enough to speak Sanskrit. And maybe Shudras can also speak. It's not banned for Shudras to speak in Sanskrit. They're just not supposed to hear the Vedas, that's all. Not supposed to hear Shruti. So, especially those who are more learned, they would appreciate that. But I don't know, because culturally our movement seems to be going more toward the West than toward its original roots. In all ways, Western dress, Western food, Western ideas. Better we come toward this than toward the culture of, what is there, Olympic Games, Madonna. I guess she's completely out of date. I have no idea what's up to... It's very low class, this Western world. Sorry, but even Slovenia, I'm sure you think it's very high class, but it's all lecher culture. It's horrible. Horrible. And the most horrible thing is seeing India imitating this quite disgusting. So, Hare Krishna. That's all for now. Hare Krishna.